Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of February, 2018. It's shortly after midnight, and I want to talk today about imputation versus impartation. David said in the Psalms that he would not impute his sins to him. And I'm glad that David did talk about the fact that Christ would not impute his transgressions against him. Because we realize that imputation is something that we did receive, but it was not our transgressions, it was Christ's righteousness. Why could Christ impute our sins to us? Why? Well, because he took our sins. He took our sins and gave us his righteousness. In Romans 4:8, we're told, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Even Romans 4:6, even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. Notice Paul says that David says that God imputed righteousness without works, and that the Lord will not impute sin to his people. In Romans 4:11, it says that he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Notice the word impart is not in any of these scriptures. It's all impute. Romans 4:22 and 23 and 24, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, in whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. James says in James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. If we go back to the 32nd Psalm, and we look at that, it says, in verse 1, Psalm of David Maskil, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He says in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. He goes on and says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You know. Blessed is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. The reason David can say that is that he knows that God is, through his son Jesus Christ, is the sacrifice for his sin. You know? And so whenever we come against this doctrine of imputation, we're coming against the perfect atonement of Jesus Christ. The perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. He took our sins upon himself. And, you know, we see this sacrificial system in the Old Testament. But in Hebrews, we're told that the blood of goats could never take away sin. Okay? Could never take away sin, could it? But we know that we're told in Romans 5:11, not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom we now have received the atonement. Okay? This is the work of Jesus Christ in his perfect sacrifice. And his sacrifice was himself. He shed his blood for us on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. He bore our sins on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary. And you might say, well, Larry, I know that. That's simple enough. But, you know, he says in Hebrews 10:12, this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. You know? And so, this is something that we need to constantly reaffirm. That Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for us. You know? And there are many today that are trying to reinstitute animal sacrifices over in the Middle East. But he's already sacrificed the one perfect sacrifice. You know? His sacrifice was well pleasing to God. You know? And he says, For then, Romans 9:26, for then he must have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. They used to have to go in every year and offer sacrifices. But now we see that he has fulfilled all things for us by offering himself for us, a perfect sacrifice for sin. That's why we have his imputed righteousness. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins ever, sat down on the right hand of God. What a blessed truth. What is a blessed truth that is. And so it's not imparted righteousness. It's imputed righteousness. We could never do anything that would be seen as righteous in the eyes of a perfect God. But we can be seen as righteous through the perfect sacrifice of Christ, through the work that he accomplished on the cross for us. It's a great blessing. I'm glad that he is the perfect sacrifice for us. I'm glad that he purchased our redemption with his own blood. We can never talk about this great work on Calvary by our Lord enough. We never proclaim it enough. And it's my desire to proclaim it until I die. You know, that's my desire. That's the desire that God has placed within my heart. O sacred head now wounded, with the crown of thorns, the mockery and ridicule, he heard all their scorns. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, they cried. But my Savior laid his head on his shoulder, saying, it is finished, and then died. To save this wretched sinner, to purchase in my stead, to suffer the wrath of his Father when I deserved it instead. Thank you, Lord, for taking all this grief and pain and giving me salvation. All glory to the Lamb. May God be with you in a special way today, is my prayer.